السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا، ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. As you're very well aware, during these days, it's highly likely that if you were to turn on the TV to any news channel or listen to the news report on the radio or to read the news on the internet, it's more likely than not that the name of Islam will probably come up in the news, in the media. The past few years, we've noticed that Islam has been thrust to the forefront of the media, that most of the media's attention has been on Islam and on Muslim. And we notice that within the past few years, that there have been a number of tragic events that have taken place, horrendous attacks by terrorists, by criminals who have committed all sorts of crimes in the name of Islam. We know the most recent of which was the event that took place in Paris a short while ago, where gunmen entered into the compound of the satirical weekly newspaper or magazine, Charlie Hebdo, and gunned down 12 individuals, killing a number of individuals. And then, of course, a couple of days later, there were another two events that were related to this event in Paris and the surrounding areas. And more recently, we hear of news of events taking place in other parts, in Germany, in Belgium, in France also, of law enforcement agencies entering into certain compounds and dismantling plans for terrorist attacks. And we hear about this. This has become very frequent. It's very common for us to hear Islam especially shed in a negative light in the media. And one of the very frequent statements that we hear, increasingly frequent statements that we hear by individuals on the media, those who, of course, especially those who have a certain agenda, an anti-Islamic agenda to them, we hear this statement that, yes, we don't want to generalize and say that all Muslims are terrorists, right? Because that would be something awful to say. 1.7 billion Muslims, one of the largest, you know, Islam is the second after Christianity, it's the second largest religion in the world. 1.7 billion adherents. To consider them all as terrorists, this would be wrong, although some have. Unfortunately, some have. Yet even those who do not want to generalize in this fashion, we hear these absurd statements. They say that not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslim. Not all Muslims are terrorists. We acknowledge this fact, but all terrorists are Muslims. Because when you turn on the news, when you listen to the news, the past, you know, since 9/11, at least since 9/11, now 14 years, almost 14, 13, 14 years, that whenever we hear of a terrorist attack, it's always, the perpetrators have always been Muslim. You know, sometimes when we hear about something on the news, when it immediately, when it's breaking news, when it's just come to the media, many individuals, perhaps many of you here, I know I feel this way, when I hear about these events, in the back of my mind I'm saying, please, let it this time not be someone who considers himself to be Muslim. Let this act not be perpetrated by someone who considers himself to be Muslim. Yet we notice that many of the events are perpetrated by those who consider themselves to be Muslims. And so the statement that we usually hear is not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. And if this is not true, then why is it that we don't hear about terrorists from other groups? Why don't we hear about Christian terrorists? Why don't we hear about Jewish terrorists? Why don't we hear about Buddhist terrorists? Why don't we hear about atheist terrorists? Why is it that whenever there's a terrorist act, it's always a Muslim terrorist? It's always an Islamic terrorist. Now, it's important for us to clarify a point. And that is that it's obvious that many of the attacks that occur worldwide, these terrorist attacks, they are perpetrated by those who genuinely consider themselves to be Muslims. We can't deny this fact. We can't say that these individuals who are committing these acts are not Muslim. We cannot engage in this act of takfir, excommunication, saying this person who considers him or herself to be Muslim is not a Muslim. Because in fact, and this is very dangerous, because what we would like to do is we consider these acts to be so atrocious and so heinous that we would like to stand up and say, no, 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 these are not Muslims. Don't consider these Muslims. They are not Muslims. But in this act itself, there's a danger, brothers and sisters. In this act of takfir, considering those who they themselves consider themselves to be Muslims, in this act, if we consider others who consider themselves to be Muslims, who claim and profess to be Muslims, we say, no, you're not Muslims, this is very dangerous, because it is this act itself, takfir, excommunication, which has served as the basis and the foundation of these evil acts. Why is it that many of the victims of these attacks have been Muslims? If you ask a terrorist who commits this act in the name of Islam as a Muslim, why the victims of this attack are Muslim also, they'll say, why? They'll say, well, this person was not a Muslim. This person was a person who was living in the West. This person is a person who, you know, does not subscribe to the specific ideology, and so he or she is not Muslim, and as a result, it's okay for me to kill them. So it's very important for us to remember that this issue of takfir, excommunicating others who claim to be Muslim, because essentially, what does it mean to be Muslim? If a person wants to become Muslim, what do they have to do? It's a very simple process. All they have to do is pronounce, profess the shahadatain. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is no God but one God. وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله, and I bear witness, اللهم صل على محمد, that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Any individual who does that is considered by Islamic law as a Muslim. Now, we can come and say that the actions committed by these individuals who are Muslim are un-Islamic. And this is what we have to do. Killing an innocent person is un-Islamic. But we cannot say that this individual is not Muslim. They consider themselves to be Muslim. They confess. They profess the Shahadatain. They profess that there is no God but one God, Muhammad. They believe in the Quran. They believe in the hereafter. They believe in all of these things. But their actions are un-Islamic. And there are many things that Muslims do that are un-Islamic. If we don't pray, this is un-Islamic. If there's a Muslim who doesn't pray, who says, I don't pray, once a day, twice a day, five times a day, I don't pray, can we come and say this person is not Muslim? No, we can't. Their actions are un-Islamic. If the person says, no, I don't go to Hajj, I'm able to go to Hajj, but I do not go to Hajj, can we come and say this person is non-Muslim? No, we cannot. Their actions are un-Islamic. Just like deceit and lying is un-Islamic. Just like ghibah, backbiting, is un-Islamic. Just like fitna, causing commotion and chaos, is un-Islamic. And in fact, when we come to the Quran tells us, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. Causing fitna, causing chaos, disorder, causing problems in society, this is worse in the eyes of God than what? Than murder, than killing. These are all un-Islamic actions, right? But the actions that are committed by these individuals who consider themselves to be Muslims, they are un-Islamic. There's a specific political agenda, we can say that. They have political motives, we can say that. But one of the issues that's important for us to also mention, and that is that it is a fact substantiated by proof and evidence that the vast majority of terrorist acts that were committed in the past 5 years at least in Europe and the United States of America were committed by non-Muslims. The vast majority of terrorist attacks in the past 5 years committed in Europe and the United States were perpetrated by non-Muslims, by individuals who did not proclaim or confess to being Muslim. How is this? This may be a shock to many. How is it possible that the vast majority of terrorist attacks that occurred in Europe and the United States in the past 5 years were committed by non-Muslims, and I am not aware of this? Because all of the events that I'm aware of were committed by those who claim to be Muslim in Europe and the United States. How is it possible that the vast majority were in fact committed by non-Muslims? Let's come to Europe. Europe, according to Europol, which is the European Union's law enforcement agency, Europol, they tell us that in the past 5 years, less than 2% of terrorist attacks that occurred in Europe were committed by Muslims or were religiously motivated. Less than 2%. Less than 2%. And the vast majority were in fact perpetrated for ethno-nationalist or separatist reasons. We're told that in 2013, for example, and you can go back to, you know, this organization Europol, and they have a report on terrorism. If you click on the latest report, which is the 2014 report, it gives figures from the previous year. So this report on their website, on Europol's website, this report tells us that in 2013, 152 terror attacks occurred in Europe. 152 in the year 2013. And out of these 152, only two were religiously motivated. 152 terror attacks, only 2 were religiously motivated, while 150 terror attacks that occurred in the year 2013 in Europe were motivated by others, there were other motivations behind them. Anarchist groups, separatist groups, nationalist groups that committed these atrocious acts. And there are many examples. If we look at France, for instance, there is the National Liberation Front of Corsica. Corsica is an island that's just off the southern coast of France, between France and Italy, southeast of France. And this island, there is the National Liberation Front of Corsica attempts to gain independence for this island of Corsica from France. And so one of the means that they are attempting to do so is through launching terror attacks. One of the means is through acts of violence, through launching rocket attacks. In 2013, this French separatist group launched terrorist attacks. They launched rockets on police stations in France. Go and read about it. It's in the report. This is in the case of France. This is one example. In the case of Greece, there's the militant popular revolutionary forces who also have committed terrorist attacks, including shooting innocent individuals and journalists, by the way. This is in Greece. When we come to Italy, in Italy there is the informal anarchist federation, also an anarchist organization that carries out terrorist attacks and has committed some even as recently as 2013, including the destruction of churches and mosques and the killing of innocent individuals. These are just a few examples that come from this report from Europol. This is not some, you know, pro-Muslim organization who's trying to, you know, cause problems and coming up with these false notions. No, this is according to the European Union's own law enforcement agency of these terror attacks that occurred just 2 years ago, just in 2013. Have we ever heard of these? Have we even heard of these organizations carrying out rocket attacks or killing police officers or killing journalists or killing innocent individuals? Have we even heard of these events in the news? Probably not. Now, had a Muslim perpetrated these crimes or taken part in these crimes, it's more than likely that you probably would have heard about it in the news. This is in the case of Europe. When we come to the case of the United States of America, right here. When we come to the U.S., and before the U.S., by the way, before we go to U.S., if you remember in 2011, there was an incident that occurred that you may have probably heard of. And that was the man who killed 77 individuals, Breivik, I believe his name was, who killed 77 people in Norway. And he had a huge manifesto. And in his manifesto, he says what? He says that the reasoning or the motivation behind this terrorist attack, which killed 77 innocent people, was anti-Islamic sentiments that he had, anti-immigration sentiments that he had, and to help establish a pro-Christian Europe. But did anyone go out and call this individual a Christian terrorist? In fact, when even the statement was made that this man is a Christian terrorist, there are some individuals in the media who lashed out, who said, impossible. How dare you consider this person to be a Christian terrorist? Although in his manifesto he said that he is calling for a pro-Christian Europe. We heard about it for a while in the news, but then it died down quickly. This is in the case of Europe. When we come to the United States also, if you go to the FBI's website, they have a report from 1980 to 2005. 25 years, they document all of the terrorist attacks that occurred on U.S. soil between 1980 and 2005. This study by the FBI tells us that 94% of all terrorist attacks between 1980 to 2005, that means including 2001, September 11th, 2001, from 1980 to 2005, 94% of terrorist attacks that took place on U.S. soil were committed by non-Muslims. And what's interesting, so the number of terrorist attacks, or the percentage of terrorist attacks committed by Muslims would be how much? Would be 6%. This same report tells us that in this same time, between 1980 and 2005, 7% of terrorist attacks were committed by Jews. Go to this report itself. This is not me saying this. And these are not individuals who committed crimes who happened to be Jews. No, they were done in the name of Judaism. 7% of terrorist attacks between 1980 to 2005. And the report gives more details about percentages of individuals and groups who were behind terrorist attacks that occurred here in the United States. But we don't hear about this. Does anyone dare to go out onto the news and say this was a Jewish terrorist, or this was a Christian terrorist, or this was a Buddhist terrorist? We know that terrorism in the name of Buddhism occurs. Look at Burma, look at Sri Lanka, where Muslims have been slaughtered. They've been killed. In the name of what? In the name of Buddhism. The State Department says that in 2013, the United States State Department tells us that in the year 2013, there were 399 terrorist acts committed in Israel by Jewish settlers who were what? They were considered price tag acts, who were directed towards Palestinian civilians. Civilians, 399. But do you hear anyone go out and say this is Jewish terrorism, killing of innocent people? We don't. But when it comes to Islam, we notice that if there's any act committed in the name of Islam, any terrorist act committed in the name of Islam, we notice that when we go on the news, nowadays, terrorism equals what? Equals Islam. Yes, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, terrorism, there would be a specific definition telling you that it's any act to further a specific goal. There's a certain context that's given. But when we come to the media today, when we talk about a terrorist attack, it's equated to what? To Islam. And thus, if Christians go and attack abortion clinics, which happens very frequently and prevalently here, right? This is not terrorism. Or the 30 individuals who die on average every single day in the United States because of gun violence, this is not terrorism. Or on average, the 3 women every single day in the United States who die because of domestic violence, this is not terrorism. Why? Because it's not Muslims who are involved. If a Muslim is involved, then it's automatically considered as terrorism. And this is problematic. Yet, brothers and sisters, the reason why is because we notice that within the United States, the media plays, and of course the world, not just the United States, the media plays an essential role. Individuals, I mean, we receive our news from major media outlets, and we notice that some of these media outlets, they have an inherent anti-Islamic bias. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, you probably all know of this organization. A while back, they came out with a report, a comprehensive report, which talks about legislating fear, not just in the media, but even when it comes to legislation. Legislating fear. And they tell us that in the past few years, they have risen 37 core groups, 37 core groups and individuals, with a revenue of about $120 million. With a revenue of $120 million, and 78 bills were introduced to Congress. 78 bills were introduced to Congress, and the primary objective of all of this is to vilify Islam, all with anti-Islamic rhetoric. Of course, these 78 bills, they did not pass, but some did. In some states, some of them, and the report tells us, gives us details. And so we notice that within the media, there are certain organizations and outside the media whose purpose is to vilify Islam, whose objective is to destroy the image of Islam. And this is happening. And now, of course, we don't want to excuse this behavior, right? We don't want to say that they're excused for this behavior. No, we condemn this. We condemn any type of anti-Islamic or anti-Jewish or anti-Christian or any hateful sort of speech or propaganda. We condemn this. This is not acceptable, right? But we have to make a distinction between something that is unexcused and something that is unexpected. Because sometimes people, they come out and they object, they say, well, look at what the media is doing to Islam, the image of Islam. But that's their job. Their job, they're being paid with lots and lots of money to push this agenda. So it should be expected that there are certain individuals who want to vilify Islam. But of course, we do not accept this. We have to differentiate between something that is unacceptable and something that is unexpected. It's expected, but we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why is it that when it comes to all of this terrorism and all of these acts that are occurring across the globe, even here in the United States, in Europe, what is it that we're doing to counter these events, and what is it that we're doing to counter this negative imagery that's coming? These stereotypes, this anti-Islamic sentiment, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? It's important. Because the media, they'll focus on the negative. Because this is what people want to hear. They want to hear about these incidents. They won't come and focus on the Muslim heroes, the countless Muslim heroes that are coming. When we go back and we read about the attacks that occurred on September 11th, many of those who were firemen and policemen, they were Muslims. They were also victims of this attack. Individuals, innocent individuals who were in the buildings, in the towers at the time, they were Muslims. They were also victims of these attacks. The vast majority of terrorism around the world, the victims of this terrorism are Muslims. Right? But we don't hear about these victims. We don't hear about the heroes that emerged, the Muslim heroes that emerged, even in this latest incident that occurred in Paris, in both incidents, when the gunman entered the magazine, and we all saw images of this, right? We all know that one of the police officers who was gunned down in the street was Muslim. And his job was to protect those, right? He was protecting the right of these individuals, these journalists, to mock his own religion. This man was protecting that right, and yet he was killed. But we don't see anyone come and say he was a hero. Look at how Islam is a heroic faith. No, they'll focus on the other individuals who gunned him down. Or even in the case of the kosher supermarket, the individual who quickly came to the rescue of some of the shoppers, he took them back into the back, he put them into the refrigerator, turning off the cooling system, and then working with law enforcement in order to help them, in order to rescue them, and ended up rescuing them, a man who was Muslim. And yet even last night, just until last night, I was reading a report about him. The French government has decided to grant him citizenship. But in this report, this media report, no mention of his religion is mentioned. There's no mention of his religion. He is a man from Mali, right? He's not a Muslim man from Mali. He's not a Muslim hero. But had he been the perpetrator, had he been on the other end, it doesn't matter where he comes from. It doesn't matter if it's Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Pakistan or the United States. It doesn't matter. What's important is that he's Muslim. This is problematic. But we have to be able to do something about this, brothers and sisters. How can we counter these sentiments? Inshallah, I will discuss very briefly in the second sermon. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وإمام الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم It's important for us brothers and sisters as Muslims and as Muslims we are inherently representative of Islam Some people They try to shy away. They say, no. Don't consider me representative. Yes, I'm Muslim. I do what I'm supposed to do. I fast, I pray, I pay charity. I do all of the things. But don't give me this huge responsibility and tell me that you are representative of Islam. It's not that easy to run away from this. Because we know that as a Muslim, we have our personal relationship with Allah. Yet we also have rights and we have duties and obligations towards other community members, those around us, both within the sphere of Islam and outside the sphere of Islam. And so as Muslims, we inherently represent Islam. And it's important for us, brothers and sisters, that we do that which is in our capacity to counter these Islamic, anti-Islamic sentiments. This Islamophobia, this anti-Islamic rhetoric. We have to be able to do something. Because as I said earlier, it's expected that there are some people who will come and put everything in their capacity to try to destroy the image of Islam. But that does not mean that we should just sit back and say, well, yeah, they're the enemies of Islam. Let them do their thing. No, we also have a responsibility. It's important for us that we equip ourselves and we equip our children. We educate ourselves and our children and equip ourselves and our communities with the right tools in order to counter this anti-Islamic rhetoric that is occurring. Because if we don't do it, brothers and sisters, no one else will. There are some, we have friends, we have great local communities, sometimes a church, you know, a local church who we've established a good relationship, or a co-worker, someone that we know, or a neighbor, or a friend, someone that we know well, They'll reach out and they'll say, well, you know, if you need any help, we can help you. We can do whatever you want us to do. But that's about it. People will not necessarily go out of their way, or communities will not necessarily go out of their way to come to our rescue. If we are not ready to make a positive change in our lives and in the lives of others in our community, it's not going to happen. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. God does not change the condition of a community unless they are ready to take the necessary steps in order to change their own condition. And thus it's important for us to focus on three things, brothers and sisters. One of the important issues we need to focus on is the issue of outreach. As communities, as Muslim communities who live here in the United States, we work here, our children are born, they're raised here, we live here, we are part of society. What ends up happening sometimes is that we like to seclude ourselves from society, in some cases. Or we are satisfied with our local community. We are satisfied that we have an Islamic center, for instance, as an example, that we have an Islamic center where we can come, you know, for Friday prayers, or for Thursday night dua kumail, or once a week, or twice a week, and this is what we're satisfied with for ourselves and our families. But it's important for us to remind ourselves of the significance of outreach, of not just staying within our local community, but doing what is in our capacity to turn to the greater community. Outreach is exactly that, that you reach out to others, that you reach out to the greater community, that we try to establish relationships with the community around us, that we do not consider ourselves secluded, or if we're really, you know, if we're really pushing it, right, when it comes to our work, we know a few people, a few co-workers outside of our faith, or our tradition, or we know a couple of neighbors, or what have you. We have to be able to do more than that, brothers and sisters. We have to turn to the outside community, and we have to represent Islam through our outreach. Ask our honorable Imam, Imam Qazwini, ask him how many times, on average, how many times he receives phone calls or invitations to attend certain events, whether there are interfaith events or intrafaith events or other community events, constantly. The phone calls and the invitations are constantly coming in. And as you know, he's a very busy man, so he's not able to attend all of these events. Why is it that we do not have within our community certain individuals who say, yes, this is something that I would like to pursue. Allow me to go and to attend these events in order to represent Islam. We have to have individuals who are capable of doing this. Otherwise, how are we supposed to represent Islam? It's important for us to think about outreach as a community. What can we do in order to further outreach and in doing so, represent Islam in a positive manner? This is one. Number two is the issue of media. And I've mentioned this before, previously, but it's very important. Because, like I said in the beginning, Islam has been thrust to the forefront of media attention, but this, you know, this place that we're in is not a good place. It's not a positive image of Islam, it's a negative image of Islam. And it's expected, right? But it's unacceptable. And we have to be able to change that. And in order to change that, we have to be able to develop our own sort of media outlets. Whether it's radio, whether it's television, whether it's through social media. It's important for us, brothers and sisters, as a community to grow in this regard. Because if I don't go out on YouTube or on TV or on the radio and talk about Islam and present Islam in a positive light, then all we're going to hear about is the negative imagery of Islam. Who's going to change that? If we're not ready as community to stand up and do our part and do what we can in order to counter this through the media, because this is the age of media. This is the age of media. Ask any young individual, most individuals who are young and even those who are in college, even those who, you know, have just come out, they're graduated, they're working, and even the elder generation, most of our time is spent on the media. We receive our news on our smartphones. The smartphone today is where we receive our news, where we receive most of our information, or the internet, or through satellite TV, or through YouTube, or what have you. It's important for us to take part, to use these tools that are prevalent and that are effective in order to present Islam in a positive light. This is number two. And number three, finally, is that we have to focus on the issue of education, brothers and sisters. Education is very important. And what I mean by education, I mean that as a community, we have to be able to constantly grow and develop. It's important for us to attend Friday prayers every week. Alhamdulillah, we have this great blessing. It's important for us to recite Dua Kumail on Thursday evenings. It's great that we have, you know, a weekend school, a Saturday and Sunday school, but we have to be able to develop, brothers and sisters. The community, the masjid, and the community is not something that we should just restrict to once or twice a week. Islamic education is not something that should just be fed to us once or twice a week. Don't get me wrong, alhamdulillah. We are blessed. We have a very efficient, a great weekend school, both the Saturday and the Sunday school, with great leadership and management and teachers and a great student body. But we should not restrict it to that, brothers and sisters. It's important for us. Our children, they go to schools, maybe their schools, academically, they're excellent, but they're surrounded by individuals who may not necessarily share their ideology. And every single day, just this morning, I was dropping my son off at school, and in the mornings, I'll listen to the news to see, you know, what's going on. And the entire time we were in, you know, it was all about, you know, these terrorist attacks and ISIS and Islam. If this child does not realize what's going on, is not being educated every single day about what this is and what the position of Islam is and what Islam really is about, then we risk losing our children. We risk losing our children. They go to school for 6-7 hours a day, right? They're outside the home. As parents, we go out and we work long days, 8, 9, 10 hours. By the time we come home, we barely have time to spend some time with our children. When are we supposed to educate them? When are we supposed to talk about these issues? When are they supposed to be exposed to Islamic material? Again, don't get me wrong, a weekend school is excellent, but we should not stop there, brothers and sisters. We have to think about an Islamic school. We have to think about classes that are offered on a daily basis within the Islamic Center, within a school, in order to educate ourselves and our children and the community about Islam, so that they're able to go out and present Islam in a proper fashion. Allah tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Brothers and sisters, we have to take the steps that are necessary. As a community, we have to come together and we have to discuss these issues. And we have to put our energies and our resources together in order to be able to do our part. Because if we don't do anything, then nothing will change. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us sincerely working, practically, taking practical steps in order to promote Islam, in order to promote the image of Islam, in order for us and our family members to have a stronger sense of Islam in our lives, and for Islam to be promoted in society, we have to take some steps. And if we don't, then no one else is to blame if there is all this anti-Islamic sentiment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the strength, to give us the capacity, to guide us to that which pleases Him, to allow us to become positive agents of change in our lives and in the lives of others around us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله على محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.